Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing, also known as 3GT. My name is Kyle Borg, and I am broadcasting out of Winchester, Kansas, and I am joined today by my usual cohorts and co-hosts, Scott Hunt in Marion, Indiana, and Barry York in Beaver, Pennsylvania. Well, you guys, it is good to be back around the theologizing table with you as we come to discuss many topics that we hope our listeners find not only useful, but relevant. You know, we are three guys theologizing. And again, we tell people, you know, we hope and imagine that the podcast is like an after dinner discussion around the table, not like a discussion cooped up in an ivory tower where the rubber never meets the road. So we do hope that as you continue to listen and tune in, that you are benefited by the conversations that we have. Well, today I want to turn the conversation in a very practical direction. And let me introduce the topic and then tell you why I want to discuss this. The topic that I want to discuss a little bit with you guys today in our 30-minute window is, what tips and advice would you give to people on how to read the Bible well? So this question comes because I have this summer been meeting with a man in my congregation who is very eager to just read the Bible. And he made the observation that when he was part of maybe more broadly evangelical churches, that those churches spent a lot of time immersing themselves in smaller groups and in one-on-one times with each other in the Bible. So he relayed a story to me that when he was first converted, there was an older man in the congregation who really took him under his wing and said, you know what, let's go get breakfast once a week and we'll just open our Bibles and start reading and studying together. And he said that he really valued that. And in many ways, that was a point where he grew in grace tremendously. But as he's come more into a Reformed world, he said, you know, as Reformed Christians, we're really good at talking about theology. We might even be really good at reading and studying the Westminster Confession of Faith together. But what we're not so good at is just teaching one another how to read the Bible. Even in groups where you might do a Bible study, there's still not a lot of emphasis on how do I get equipped to read the Bible for all that it's worth on my own. And I think it's a useful observation. I think it's a useful question to ask, and that's where we want to go today. Now, I am not a walking bibliography, but as I jog my memory, I don't think there are actually a lot of books or literature written from a Reformed perspective on this. I am familiar with I think it's Gordon Fee has written a book titled How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, but I can't recall off the top of my head anything with a particular Reformed perspective. So maybe we are tapping into uncharted territories in the Reformed world, which means we are way ahead of the time. And that's what 3GT is. We're always ahead of the time. So that's the discussion I want to have today. And I want to begin by just asking you guys, before we come to some practical tips and advice and ideas for how to read the Bible, you know, how did you guys, in your own experience, how did you learn to read the Bible? Is that something that your church background really taught you? Did your parents teach you that? Is it something that you've kind of had to figure out on your own? Did seminary help you? What are some thoughts on that?
I was actually just telling a group of young people today that I was teaching at the seminary that I was converted in college, and so I did not grow up reading the Bible. But as I was, and we've talked about this on a previous episode, when we discuss some of our favorite passages and books of the Bible, I was reading through the book of the Gospel of John. And that's where I really began to just read and study the Bible for the first time, was through that study that ended up leading to my conversion. One of the strengths of the parachurch group that brought the gospel to me, the Navigators, was a real emphasis on actually reading scripture. And so they actually taught me some different methods for doing so. And so I could share some of those in a moment if you'd like. But that was my experience, was I was actually mentored into the process. And I've always been very thankful for that.
I did grow up, I guess, reading the Bible some. For as a child and as an adolescent, it was more of the pop it open, you know, read whatever verses up there, 2-3 verses, and that was it. So very piecemeal, not systematically at all. When I was in college, I had a professor who told us in no uncertain terms, and there may be one or two listeners who know of this professor, Dr. Martin. He lectured us. He said, you must read the Bible biblically. So he didn't explain what that meant. But I do think, well, but it planted that seed. So now how do I read the Bible biblically? But I think for me, how I learned to read it is through listening to sermons, answer questions about the Bible, to reading books, not necessarily about how to read the Bible, but showing the application of a person who has a very deep understanding of the Bible. And you can learn, I think, even from those sources that are not meant to instruct you on how to read a Bible, you can learn how to do it. You know, being in Sunday school class or Bible study as a young Christian here in Marion or over in Kokomo, you know, we did Bible studies and different kinds of things. And I think just piecemeal, I hate to use that word again, but here and there, I gleaned, and I was able to glean from pastors, from authors, and friends, how the best way about reading the Bible, how to go about doing that. So I'm not a professional. I'm not great at it by any means, but I do think that you can learn a lot by picking up context clues from those sources.
Yeah, you're not an expert. It's true.
Thank you.
So I want to just sit in the corner.
6 minutes. It took 6 minutes for him to insult me.
You want to watch the big boys? Let the big boys go on answering this, Scott. You just sit there, you know, all nice like.
So, I'll turn my microphone off.
I'm kidding, Scott. Don't you dare. So that's interesting. That's helpful. You know, I grew up in a broadly evangelical church, and one of the things that our church emphasized, whatever weaknesses there were present, I am always thankful that I was always raised with a very high regard for the Bible. At the same time, you know, I went through all the Awana program stuff, memorizing the Bible, but I don't think that I was specifically trained on how to read the Bible and how do you come to a text and figure it out. You know, there was a lot of teaching from the Bible and pastors, teachers could say, you know, this is what this means. But they didn't always walk you across the bridge, so to speak, to say, you know, here's how we get there when we come to the text. And I remember in high school being really burdened by this. In high school, I started listening to some different preachers than the one that I grew up under. Very gifted preachers. And I remember just hearing them and the way that they would meticulously deal with a passage in the Bible. And I'd be like, oh my goodness, I could never get that out of the Bible. Like, it was wonderful. And I just thought, you know, what have I been missing in my life? I don't feel that I could ever come to the scriptures and get out of it what these people do, even though they show me how to do it. And so I just remember as a high schooler being very burdened by that. Like, how do I read my Bible? So that's helpful. I enjoy hearing about your guys' experience. But as much as I love that, let's get into the practicalities then. How would you encourage people, whether they're new Christians or seasoned Christians, what are some things, what are some patterns and habits that you think are necessary in order to read the Bible well? Scott, I don't know if you want to develop anything. I love that little quote, you know, you need to read the Bible biblically. Yes and amen. You know, what does that mean? What does it mean to read the Bible biblically? What are some things you guys would say?
Well, I think how I understood that is you take the Bible as a whole, and we like to talk about in Reform circles, you know, the Bible scripture interprets scripture. So I think in order to read the Bible well, you have to do it in two ways. You have to do, I think there has to be deep study on passages. So where you just focus on several verses and really get all you can out of that. But in order to do that well, you have to have a broad knowledge of the Bible. So I think it's important if you want to know how to read the Bible and get the most out of it, you have to have both a general knowledge and the time to specifically deal with individual verses so that you can reference and search out other parts of the scripture. So a new Christian, I would say it's important to get them to read, you know, big portions of the scripture just to get a foundation of the Bible, to an understanding. That's what I did. When I started really taking seriously reading the Bible, I went read it cover to cover the first time in my life when I was in college, just to get a broad, basic understanding of the flow of scripture. And then I think when you get done with that, you can focus on, you know, First John and go through that with a fine tooth comb, or James, or Proverbs, and you can pick up other parts of scripture where you have read. That's kind of what I understand reading the Bible biblically to mean. But you have to have that underlying knowledge, which it sounds like you would have had from your high school time, you know, base understanding of knowledge. I had that as well, but I think for a new Christian, that's a hard thing to do, but you know, that's how I think you can go about reading the Bible biblically.
I know when I was just starting that I was just encouraged to spend, I think the Navigators even had a little track called 7 Minutes with God, just to make sure that you're spending time every day. So I think one of the things you'd want to do is to make it daily. God's word is to be like our bread, our necessary food. So we should be eating from it daily. So just to read daily. You know, how much you read would depend on you, but to at least try to read a chapter a day or something along those lines. There's all kinds of wonderful Bible reading plans that over the course of my Christian experience, I've utilized different types. Right now, I'm just reading consecutively through the Bible, and I try to do 3 chapters a day. That's what I'm currently working on. But I've done other approaches where I get through the Bible in a year or certain parts of the Bible in a year, that type of thing. I think one of the things that was really impressed upon me in my early Christianity, and I still approach it this way as well, even today, or encourage people to do this, is it's really important the particular book that you're in to, when I'm talking about the book of the Bible that you're in, to know a little bit about it, as Scott was mentioning, to get more of a sense of the general overview of it. Who's the author? What do we know about the author? Who's the audience he's writing to? What's the setting? What are some of the basic themes of the book that you're reading so that you can appreciate that as you go through it? I think some of that basic commentary that you can get out of whether it's a survey of the Bible type of book that will help you, or the lead-in notes to the Reformation Study Bible, or anything like that that can just give you a sense of a grasp of the book is important. And then just one other thing I would add is, you know, different books, they have a genre. There are different types of books in the Bible. So there are books of just history. There are books that we call didactic books, like the letters that Paul wrote. There are prophecies, and there's law. So there's poetry. So recognizing a book is being written in a certain genre can help you to know, for instance, am I dealing with something that should be interpreted more figuratively than literally, for instance. So I think that's really important to learn. And I think in basic books on biblical interpretation, that's one of the first things you start seeing in these books is you got to recognize the genre, the turns of phrases that are peculiar to certain genres, so that can help you in a book.
Yeah, I appreciate these answers. I remember when I was a seminary student, we were getting our tour of the seminary for the first time, and I went to Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids. And I think at the time, the library that the seminary had was 150,000 books. And I remember that Joel Beakey brought us in there, and he said, you know, you can always tell who's going to succeed as a seminary student because there's always two reactions to this library. There are those who look at all the books and think, oh, yuck, I can't imagine. And he said, and then there are those who come in here and go, wow, look at all of these books. And I've sometimes used that illustration, you know, as Christians, it's that latter attitude I want to cultivate to the Bible. You know, reading the Bible, reading it biblically, reading it well, it takes work. We believe in the perspicuity of the scriptures, right? We believe that the plan of salvation and the gospel is clearly revealed, that the youngest child can really begin to grasp these things. But it is also a book that does not cater to the lowest common denominator. You know, you begin to read the Apostle Paul and you see he's not aiming what he's writing at the least educated person around him. He is aiming above our heads to make us grasp and to make us jump. And so it takes work. And as Christians, I think we need to cultivate that attitude of, wow, you know, what a magnificent book this is. This is God's self-revelation, self-communication to us for all things necessary for faith and life. And I remember, you know, you guys have this sophisticated way. When I started reading the Bible, trying to figure out how to do it, I tried to start in a very simple way in some ways. I remember in high school, I would read a chapter in the Bible, and then I would always write out what I thought was the main thought of that chapter that I read. And I'd write out, you know, I'd force myself to ask three questions. Not necessarily answer them, but just three questions about that text. And one thing that I've often told my congregation, even in preaching, so much of good Bible reading and understanding is learning to ask the right questions. Yes, you need to get the answers. You know, we don't live in this world of just questions, you know, always asking, never arriving, but so much depends on learning how to ask the right questions from the text. I also remember that one of my practices was outlining books as much as I could. I remember when I was a senior, I decided to commit myself to reading the book of Acts, and I meticulously outlined Acts. And it wasn't until years later in seminary that I really learned the true value of outlining a book. Like, there's so much, especially when you come to some of those pastoral letters from the Apostle Paul, where the logic is so watertight. There's so much value to that. I also, you know, I would read, especially shorter books of the Bible, I forced myself to read them in one sitting. And so, like, I remember in my freshman year of college, I read the letter of Galatians every single day for 60 days, just from start to finish, just to get the big picture, to try to figure out what's going on here. And those things were all very helpful to me, together with the things that you guys are saying, I think are really pivotal. How do you encourage people? You know, some of what we're saying here does require a lot of work, and it can be exhausting. You know, you go to your job for 8 hours a day, you've got kids sports in the evening, you're running here and there. You know, a lot of us don't carve out time, and it would be easy to conclude, you know, I'm just too busy to do this. This is so aggravating. How do you guys encourage people to continue to grow in this? What would you guys to say to those who feel discouraged?
You know, my pastoral ministry, and I also really emphasize this with my students at the seminary, is just how important it is for a minister to be getting God's word into the people's lives in a variety of ways. It's really easy to think as a pastor that, well, I just concentrate on the preaching and I don't worry about the rest. But I think a pastor's duty is to keep feeding in many ways his congregation and to encourage them in a rich diet of God's word. And so to have an emphasis and teaching on, for instance, having family worship, so that, and we've had podcasts on that in the past about just encouraging the family to sit around the table or before bedtime or in the morning and read some of God's word together and have a brief discussion and questions about it. It's really important. I always would provide, usually at the beginning of a year, Bible reading plans that I've mentioned already, different ones, because different people might find something, a tool helpful that someone else might not. So I think we need to be encouraged. I really think of Bible study. A lot of times we think of it as a Bible study, but it's also group Bible reading. And I just always have enjoyed, if we're studying a chapter, like I've been going through the book of Acts with a group here, that we just, at the very beginning, we're just going to read this. Like, you may have already read it, you might have already done some study, but we just go around the circle and everybody reads a verse or two. And just to have that experience of reading together, not just by myself. So those are a few ideas.
I think one thing I, just from a practical standpoint, not everybody is a Barry York or a Kyle Borg and has a mind like yours.
We're really thankful that not everybody's a Barry York. If the world was all Kyle Borg, we might be in a better place.
But I mean that, you know, your minds are different than other people's minds. And so it's easy for people to get discouraged who can't read well, who just the maybe have difficulty with comprehension. And I think it's important for us to encourage people to read where they are, push themselves. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but you know, God has given you the mind, the talents, the skill. Use that to read the word. And if you can only get through a chapter a day or 15 verses a day because you struggle in that way, do it. And the Lord will bless you in your faithfulness. He doesn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful in these things. And so it's so easy. And I found this in my my walk as a Christian, to get discouraged at times. I wanted to do, you know, I wanted to read the Bible in a year, but you know, I could only get a chapter in instead of three or four one day. And so it's easy to get discouraged, but I think what's important is to remind people that you must be faithful in it. Be faithful in the little, even if it's 10 or 15 minutes before you have to go out and work a 12-hour day. Be faithful in that. And the Lord will bless that. And the Lord will use that to grow you and grow your mind. You don't have to be, you know, a genius like some people, or can just, I'm amazed at how people can just read tons and tons of books. And it seems like they have so much going on in their life and they can still read. It amazes me, but I don't have to be like that. God doesn't call me to be like my neighbor. He calls me to be like Christ and gives me the strength and the grace to do that. And I think we need to encourage people to not get discouraged because you're not like another person. Be faithful with what the Lord has given you and be faithful to the word in that way.
Yeah, I think that's really true. That's an easy way to get discouraged. At the same time, I'd also say, you know, despite your flattering comments, you know, I don't look at myself growing up as having been a natural reader. And a lot of it does come through the, you know, there was a time in my life where it just kind of dawned on me, if I'm going to be a Christian, I have to be a person of the book. God has chosen to reveal himself in words and in writing. And as a Christian, I need to take that seriously. And
that kind of proves the point I'm making is you were faithful in what you had and you knew you weren't a strong reader. I was not a strong reader. I didn't read until college. But when you're faithful in that little, the Lord gives you the strength and the grace and the capability to read and understand. So you do grow. And I think people just need to be encouraged that will come with time. Don't get discouraged now.
Right. I totally agree. And you may never become a vociferous reader, right? You may never actually have shelves lined, you know, but to continue to give yourself, God has chosen to reveal himself in the written word. And as Christians, we have to be a people of the book, whether we're natural readers or not. That's how God has chosen to reveal himself. You know, another thing, and then Barry, I want to come back to something that you said. Another thing that I try to offer as encouragement to people is we believe that the ascended Lord Jesus has given teachers to his church. And we believe those teachers are more, and praise God, they are more than our local pastors. And they are also, to avoid generational snobbery, they are more than those who are alive today. The history of the church has a long line of men that Jesus has given, a long line of people that Jesus has given to be teachers. And I think we should feel great liberty to use those teachers, to use the writings that they have left behind. I think sometimes we get into this mindset that I need to come to the text, me, myself, and I, and figure it out for myself, all the while denying, you know, Ephesians chapter 4, the ascension gift of Jesus. He's given teachers to his church to help us understand these things. You know, even I was doing a Bible study last night with some young people, and in 1 John, John talks about, you know, the anointing that you have received, the Holy One gives you all knowledge. And we kind of debated the question, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean we don't need teachers? Well, that's not what John is saying. I mean, the fact that John is writing a letter to these people saying you have all knowledge and you have no need for anybody to teach you, and yet here I am giving you knowledge and teaching you, right? This is a gift that God has given to his church, and we should feel free to use that. Barry, I want to cycle back to something that you said that I've been thinking about a little bit here lately. And that is, you talked about reading groups, Bible studies, community. I think that is also very important for the Christian. You know, we sometimes in our 21st century Western context, where most of us are literate, we assume that our interaction and relationship to the Bible must be the way everybody has related to the Bible and the scriptures. But do you guys want to talk a little bit about, you know, maybe that's not a safe assumption. How would have, especially in the New Testament, how would have the early church, what was their relationship to the scriptures? What did that look like? Did they go home and read privately in their homes? Or what do you think some of the practices, is there something we can draw from scripture as to what their practice was in relationship to the word of God?
Well, we do know that, and especially in the early church, there weren't tons of copies of the Bible because everything had to be handwritten. And you know, we have the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who had been up in Jerusalem, bringing back with him a scroll of Isaiah that he was reading when he was converted as Philip came to him. But that was, you know, a man of means. He was able to buy one. Most people could not have. And so the typical way the Bible was heard before Christ came was people gathered together in synagogues and heard it read. And we see the early church following that pattern as well in its development. So this has a rich history in the church of seeing God's people get together and read. And sometimes I know that people in the congregation may not feel altogether gifted. Like they may not think they can go out and do door-to-door evangelism or other types of, like, I can't teach a class, I've heard people say. But I like to remind, you know, most of the people in our churches have way more Bible knowledge than the person on the street or the friends they know or family members. And the simple thing of saying to someone else, could we read the Bible together? And we'll just read, maybe it's someone that's not a believer and you start them in the Gospel of John. Maybe it's someone who's a young Christian and just needs some encouragement. You go to 1 John or whatever it may be, but you can just sit there and together read out loud the Bible and just have a basic discussion about what it's saying. You already have way more knowledge than they do of it. And it can have a tremendous impact on others. There are missionaries, I know some of our missionaries in Africa, they do what they call storing, where, and a lot of women participate in this, where they go to villages and they just tell the stories of the Bible to familiarize the people, even orally, with the Bible. And we can use Bible story books that way in our culture, where we have those printed to do with children or even adults without a lot of knowledge of the Bible can benefit. You might say we're doing it for the children, but they may be benefiting from it as an adult as well. So just finding ways to read the scriptures with other people, I think, can be very, very valuable.
One thing I think I don't know anything of church history like you both do, gone through seminary classes on church history, written wonderful papers, I'm sure, for both.
We've probably forgotten way more church history than you know, Scott.
Isn't that the truth?
Well, that took 28 minutes, 28 minutes for Barry to ridicule me. So.
No, that was actually an insult at me, really.
No, well.
Man, he has thin skin. He takes everything personally.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm fine. But the point is, I think my guess is that there would have been a lot of discussion at around fellowship lunch of the things read and the things heard. And so I don't know that there would have been people necessarily with all the scrolls pulled out, but I would guess that the people of the early church would take time to discuss and think about what they have been, what they read from a letter from Paul or, you know, a sermon they just heard, and have knowledge, their knowledge of the Old Testament, and they would discuss these things and ask questions. And I think that's kind of what reading the Bible will lead to, is questions and answers and discussion. That's why we have Bible studies, and that's why we do these things, so we can learn from each other. And I think that's what's missing if you just read it individually and don't participate in a community of Bible reading.
Yeah, I think that's very helpful. That's where I was going with that as well. You know, I read a very interesting article recently that was kind of questioning, You know, many of us have heard from Acts 17 about the Bereans who, after Paul preached, went back to the scriptures to see if these things were so. And the author said, you know, this passage is often used to encourage us to go back to our homes to individually and privately read the Bible. And he said, but is that a really faithful picture to what the Bereans were actually doing? And he said, well, there's nothing wrong with doing that individually, but actually what the Bereans were likely doing, they were meeting as a community and they were meeting as a group. That the scriptures, we can in our 21st century think and mistaken that the scriptures were not written to me, myself, and I. They were written to a reading community, to a people who would gather together to search these things out. Well, you guys, I think that about wraps up our time together today on this topic. I want to thank you. And to our faithful listeners, whether this is your first time listening, I guess that doesn't really make you that faithful yet, but you have the opportunity to become a faithful listener. And to those that continue with us, we want to thank you. Be sure to head to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, head to our website, 3gt.xyz. And hey, if you've got any topics you would like us to theologize on, feel free to email us. We'd love to hear from you. So thanks for tuning in to this episode of Three Guys Theologizing.